is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Thank you. Amen. God bless you, choir, as our choir makes its way down. Come on, let's thank God for the Pleasant Hill Choir. Amen. Somebody said you can't pay him. You can't pay God for all that he's done. But the least you can do is what? Tell him thank you. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. While our choir is making its way down, I want to say happy birthday to Sister Marilyn Palmer. Amen. I know I was looking at Facebook last night live, and they were celebrating at celebrations. Sister Marilyn's birthday, happy birthday to you. And then I want to say, and I haven't said it enough this year, but I want to say to our reigning queen, our reigning Mrs. Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, who is my own mother, Sister Lily Garner. In the month of March, amen. Come on, we can do better than that. Let's thank God for our queen, Ms. Pleasant Hill. God bless you, and may he bless you real good. I'm excited about what God is doing in and through this church. And we want to continue to pray and ask the Lord to use us. Amen. And one thing we've got to do is be available for him to use us. He needs us. We're the only hands and feet that he has in this generation. So allow the Lord to use you. And I want to make a special appeal to those of you who haven't been coming to Bible study. We are studying, I call it an intensive study in the book of James. It's not just a surface level study. We're actually delving into the Greek and all of that. We're looking at big words. We're learning big words like intertextuality and amen, gradatio and inclusio and all of that. But all of those words help us to better understand what the writer is trying to tell us. Amen. So come out to Bible study. Now, with that said, let me say we will not have Bible study this Wednesday. So make plans for next week. Amen. But get the word out. There will be no Bible study this Wednesday. If you have your Bibles, turn in your Bibles with us. And I'm trying to give our choir enough time to come in. Some of them are moving a little slower than they used to, as the truth would be told. All of us are moving a little slower than we used to. Amen. But thank God, Dr. King said, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. Dr. King said, but whatever you do, don't stop moving. Amen. Nudge that neighbor and tell him, don't stop moving. Don't stop moving. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Choir, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. Amen. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. As they are coming in, let us all stand. And if you have your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Come on, choir, I'm waiting on you. Amen. Just drop those robes somewhere and come on. Amen. Somebody said to me that they leave because I don't give them enough time to get back in here, but I'm waiting. I'm waiting. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 14 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. Amen. And there you will find these words. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And then here's our key verse. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Sister Brown. Amen. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. And for just a moment this morning, I ask it that you would think with me in terms of a subject, learn how to say thank you. Learn how to say thank you. Thank you, ushers. Amen. The mark of a cultured person is measured by what society calls etiquette. We're characterized as either polite or impolite, as rude or refined by our ability or inability to make proper use of etiquette. Etiquette says there are certain responses to certain situations. If you ask a favor, it is anticipated that you'll follow up your request with the word please. If you make a mistake, you indicate your error by saying, my apology. If you interrupt others, either in their conversation or in their activity, it's correct to say, excuse me.
And if someone does something for you in response to his or her kindness, you ought to say thank you. That is the lesson of etiquette. I bring this to your attention today because we are living in a selfish world. We're living in a world that has lost nearly all sense of order. People will run over you and never look back to say, excuse me. Folk will hurt you and never apologize, even in the church. They will ask the world of you and expect you to give it without ever saying the word, please. There are those who will show you that they take you and everything about you for granted because they will use you up and never say thank you. And all of all the breaches of etiquette, of all the bad manners, I don't know of one that cuts more deeply than one's failure to say thank you. You may have all the positions you want, your financial resources may be better than others. Your attainments may be above your peers. But if you don't have enough sense to say thank you, something is wrong with you. Perhaps some are unaware that they ought to say it. They don't ever worry about why things happen or what causes things to come into place. For as far as they know, it's always been there. As far as they know, it's always been like it is. So they're unaware of the obligation to say thank you. Because in their thinking, you haven't done anything special. And this is why God told the Hebrews in the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy to teach diligently their children. Remind them of the ways he had made for them. Remind them of the doors he had opened for them. Remind them of 400 years of slavery. Remind them that they weren't always occupants of a land flowing with milk and honey. Remind them that there was a time that they had to live among snakes and scorpions, wild animals and beasts. God said, tell them so they won't forget. Tell them so they won't mistreat what they have. And y'all, I'm convinced that one of the problems in our society today, particularly amongst our young people, is that nobody is reminding them of anything. History is not being taught. Heritage is not being emphasized, especially in the home. Did you hear what I said? Because it's not just the school's job to teach your children. Tell your neighbor, training begins at home. Self-esteem is established in the home. Love for self, love for a community, love for people ought to first of all be taught in the home. So many young people take for granted the right to vote because you won't tell your story or the story of those who fought, bled, and died to get the right to vote. They take for granted the right to be able to check into the Sheraton Hotel because nobody told them about the Lorraine Motel in Memphis. They overlook their elders because they are unaware of the doors that are open for them today because their elders suffered grave injustices so they could be free. They take for granted what you appreciate because they've always had it, and many of them haven't been told about anything different. And so many just don't know that they ought to say thank you. Many just don't know that their life ought to reflect gratitude and not just attitude. Have you been to some of these fast food restaurants lately? Some of the young people working in these restaurants, amen, they act like they're mad at you because they have a job. Somebody needs to remind them what it was like to pick cotton all day and then be told by the plantation owner, there is no money to pay you. Amen. Then there are those who are just unable to say it. You know, thank you is just not a part of their vocabulary. They have a hard time expressing thanks. But the way I was taught and the way I was raised was that if you can't say thank you, that's a bad reflection on your upbringing and your home training. And the one thing you didn't do was bring shame on your family. That's when I was growing up. Do I have any witnesses here? You may not have any money, but you can have manners. You may be poor, but you can be polite. Everybody ought to learn to say thank you. In the text, Paul is addressing his letter to a very young church in Thessalonica. The church at Thessalonica was founded in the midst of great and active opposition, and they feared that Paul's continuance in the city could only bring death. So the brethren sent Brother Paul away. But in his desire to keep them encouraged in the midst of their persecution, Paul sent them this letter, and he included in this letter this whole subject about Christian etiquette. First, Paul says in the 15th verse, he says, "See that none render evil for evil." My brothers and sisters, I don't care what you say, you cannot live the Christian life with a payback mentality. Let me put it to you like this: two wrongs don't make a right. Oh, I know I ought to have at least one witness here today. Amen. If someone does you wrong, you can't go around daydreaming about how you're going to get them back. Y'all know how we say, oh, I don't get mad, I get even. And then some of you added a little something to it. I don't get mad, I don't get even, I get ahead. Amen. But is there anybody here who knows that the Bible is right? Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, God said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay." Can I tell you something, my brothers and sisters? You've got to be careful playing God. I know somebody ought to know what I'm talking about. Amen. But then secondly, Paul says, rejoice. In an article by Dr. Dale Robbins, he writes, "I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I've come to realize that they have a lot of problems because they keep complaining." How many of you know complaining doesn't change anything? It won't make your situation any better. All complaining does is amplify your frustration, spread discontent, and it gives an invitation for the devil to come in and wreak more havoc in your life. Complaining makes you miserable. Amen. And I know I got some witnesses here who know that not only will it make the complainer miserable, but if you got to be around them, come on, their complaining will make you miserable too. And I guess that's why somebody said misery loves company. Amen. And I need you to understand that thanksgiving says to God, "I like that, and I want more of that." And God says, "Okay, I got you. I'll give you more of that. Since you're thankful about it and you like it and I want to bless you, I'll give you more of that." But complaining says to the devil, "I don't like it and I don't want any more of it." But y'all know the devil ain't into trying to please you. The devil says, "Since I know that this gets you distracted and this gets you bent out of shape, this steals your joy and hinders your praise, the devil, when you complain, says, I'm going to give you more since I know it's working." That's why I challenge you, people of God, that when you come into the house of God and into the presence of God, don't let the devil know he's got you. Don't let him know that he's affecting you. Come in and lift your hands to God. Open your mouth and give God praise. Don't give the devil the joy to know that it's working on you. Psalm 77 and 3 says, "I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." So Paul says, instead of complaining, rejoice. This word rejoice in the original Greek text denotes the ability to be peaceful and calm, even when circumstances around you are not peaceful and calm. That's why I wonder, what do folk who don't have Jesus do? Huh? Because the promise given to those who have Jesus, according to Philippians chapter 4 and 7, y'all remember we dealt with that in the past two Sundays, amen. The promise is that the peace of God will keep your heart and mind. The peace of God will keep me from losing my mind. The peace of God steals my troubled heart. You wonder how a believer can go through what they go through and still be all right is because they've got the peace of God. Anybody know anything about the peace of God? It keeps the heart. Amen. It's keeping my mind. And do you know what? Not only should the peace of God keep your heart and your mind, it ought to keep your mouth. Ought to keep us from going off on folks so much. Y'all, I've said it before. Y'all know how we say, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. And then wonder why you're crazy. You done gave so many pieces of your mind, you ain't got no mind left. Instead of giving a piece of your mind, try giving God praise. Where are my folk who have found out, amen, that praise will make a difference? You ought to discover the value of knowing the peace of God. Amen. But then according to Romans 5:1, it says, because we're saved, we also have peace with God. I've got peace with God, and I've got the peace of God. I don't care if you like me or not. I've got peace with God. You can go, y'all, you can go on your job tomorrow and not feel any anxiety because you've got peace with God and you've got the peace of God. And because you have that peace, you can rejoice. Because this joy I have, the world didn't give it. Come on, come on. This joy I have, the world can't take it away. But then thirdly, Paul says, pray without ceasing. For you do know that the devil never wants peace to prevail. The devil never wants harmony in your house. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that he is the author of confusion. So wherever Satan can get a foot in, he will. How many of y'all remember that old song about don't let the devil ride? If you let him ride, he might want to drive. Wherever Satan can get a foot in, he will. That's why the word says don't give place to the devil. You've got to pray without ceasing. Don't ever stop praying because prayer still changes things. As a matter of fact, my brothers and sisters, developing a lifestyle of prayer is not something that happens overnight. It takes a while. Amen. It's not an overnight destination. Don't be fooled and don't be discouraged if praying is hard work sometimes because the forces of darkness are aimed at your prayer life. Because prayer is more than a time to thank God, to ask God, and to praise God. It's also a time to listen to God. And y'all, Satan wants you to miss the conversation. That's why when you decide to pray, the children start acting up. The phone starts ringing. Somebody's at the door. Doorbell ain't rung all this whole day. But just as soon as I make up my mind that I'm going to have a conversation with God, my cell phone is going off, my house phone is going off, it's because Satan is trying to mess up your conversation with God. The forces of darkness are aimed at your prayer life. And that's when you've got to be more determined to do as Paul said, pray without ceasing. And then Paul says, in everything, give thanks. I said this a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to say it again because you need to notice here, as in Philippians, that, amen, he doesn't say, amen, for everything give thanks. It says, in everything give thanks. The verse is encouraging us to see the bigger picture, to be reminded that God is in control and we can trust him even when bad things are happening. Because, y'all, it's no test of faith to say thank you when the sun is shining. It doesn't create character when every idea is a stroke of genius and every morning is the dawn of a day better than the day before. That won't increase your faith. Paul says, in everything. When the world turns upside down on you, thank him. When sickness comes into your body, thank him. When death creeps into your home, thank him. When hard times put you down, when bad times knock you down, when rough times hold you down, thank him. You ought to thank him because God can take what looks like defeat and turn it into